I'm either getting over being sick or I'm getting sick. I think I'm getting over being sick.
You are sick.
Well, I meant like
I know.
Like have a like a cold, not like, you know, the normal sickness, which is my everyday life.
Right, you're just a sick fuck.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Takes one to know one. I know what you are, but what am I?
You are what you eat. That's right, I eat sick fucks.
So, this is But You're Wrong. I'm Keith Bodella.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
Today, the role of Greg DiNicola will be played by Sue DiNicola.
You may remember. I would have done the... That Robert York. Like, I, you know what I like about the voice is that we make my mother sound like she's from Long Island.
Yeah.
Like, she's got a wicked Boston accent, but not a Long Island accent.
Yeah, it makes no sense, but whatever. Let's do a couple housekeeping items.
I don't like when you say that.
Why? Do you think you're going to get fired? Oh my God, I just realized why you don't like.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Let's take care of a few things. And I apologize for the inside joke that will one day be revealed, but everything will come out in the wash eventually.
Yeah,
and it always
does.
All will be revealed. So, couple things to promote. We have that new YouTube video that went up.
Which is incredible.
Yes, it's our it's a visual companion piece to our previous rant on Jabba's Palace. It's mostly you. It's mostly you.
I really nerded out.
There was a lot of stuff that I cut out of that. Like when you start talking about Jabba's home planet and where he's from and who Bib Fortuna's, where he's from and stuff. The original audio was about 25 minutes long and I cut it down to about 5.
I am such a nerd. I mean, I do have the Imperial symbol tattooed to my arm.
That's true. But yeah, I did a little video companion piece, so you can see that on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/BYW podcast. Check it out, and if you like it, share it, spread it around. While we're promoting stuff, these friends of ours, friends of mine, what's that?
Friends of the podcast.
Well, yes, but how do they say it in, is it Donnie Brasco that they talk about it, what that means? Like friends of ours, friends of mine, friends of yours, and... Like when you're introducing people, there's different ways to say shit in the mob.
Yeah, I kind of forget. I've seen Donnie Brasco. I have not watched it in quite a while.
Yeah. Anyway, friends of the podcast, which is not mob related at all, unless the mob suddenly started a podcast, which I don't think they would.
It'd be so cool.
Carmella! So it's the Complete Sentences Pod, and we have a little promo to let you know what they are about.
Well, hey there, guys. I'm Ty.
And I'm Rocky.
And we're from Complete Sentences Podcast.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Here we are. I guess we're just a couple of dudes who talk about whatever, you know?
Yeah, you know, I've actually heard our podcast described as a window into the minds of two regular dudes with a taste for the obscure.
Yeah, so we'll talk about music.
And divorce.
We'll talk about movies.
And prostitution.
And we'll talk about our favorite gas stations.
And sometimes we'll talk about addiction. Mm-hmm. We kind of break it down on all levels.
Yeah, we cover all the bases, folks.
But not to mention that, we also interview a lot of independent artists.
That's right. We've had some musicians and an author.
Yeah. And, just basic artists of all types that maybe you haven't heard about, but they might be your new favorites.
We play some games, and we've even been known to throw in a wacky sound effect or two.
Oh, for sure. Ty, did you know that we have been actually, we've been called the voice of the new generation?
My goodness. By who? Who said that?
Well, I mean, my nephew kind of mumbled it during his history class.
Oh, really?
But the teacher heard it, and he got in trouble, so the word's getting out.
That's something.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/completesentencespodcast.
That's right. We got a good old Twitter at Ty and Rock UK. And, of course, you can find us on iTunes.
And also, if you guys get tired of having social media shoved down your throat, you can also check us out at completesentencespod.wordpress.com.
That's right. We got the whole internet covered, guys. So I guess whenever you guys are done listening to But You're Wrong, go ahead and swing on over to us and give us a gander, you know?
Sounds good to me. Huh? Might not be disappointed.
They might like it. There's a possibility.
So I guess that's all we got.
That's it. Yeah, I think that's it.
The end.
They are similar vein to ours. I feel like they are a little bit more disciplined and staying on topic than we are sometimes. In the ones that I've listened to, I don't think I've ever heard them go, "How the hell did we get here?"
A little more careful with their time, baby.
Yeah, they're good guys, entertaining. So check them out.
Do it. On the radio in college, I did some promos and stuff. But we got in trouble a couple times just because we didn't do them the way we were supposed to, so.
Oh, did you have to do, like, live reads and shit?
Yeah. And most of them weren't a problem, but there was one where there was a local bar, and they got shut down for serving underage kids, believe it or not, a bar next to a college. And what happened was they one night, the reason why they got caught was that someone got stabbed in the head.
Wow.
Yeah, and killed. And both of the people were underage drinking at the bar. And so they shut them down, but they opened basically a pasta place that was attached to it. Or, you know, it was kind of in the same building. And they called it Pasta Express. It was actually delicious. I mean, they had, like, really good sauce and everything and all that shit. So they wanted to promote that because they needed to make some money while the bar part was closed. And so we started reading it, and like we got instructions ahead of time. They're like, don't mention alcohol, don't mention the bar, all this shit. Like we couldn't do. And like one day we're reading it and we just started going off about like, yeah, no. And they don't serve alcohol. No, not at all. You know, not since that kid was stabbed in the head.
Oh,
and
we
could see our boss like through the window, just giving us like the cutthroat, like stop it right now. And we just like we couldn't stop ourselves. It was terrible.
And then
after that they were just like, yeah, you just don't read that anymore. We don't want you to read it.
Yeah, just don't. Cover that.
Yeah, it was bad. We also we used to have this thing every year that the radio station put on. It was it was a whole thing, but we had like this, we would have bands come, and that was like the radio station's part of what we called Springfest. And we had to come up with t-shirts, so one idea was pretty good. We thought we'd have a shirt, like a white shirt with a big like red mark on it, and put just write on it, I went to insert bar's name, and all I got was this bloody t-shirt. that didn't go over very well either, though.
Yeah. Wow.
But it was a good time.
Now, do you guys ever barricade yourselves into the studio and play that funky new music the producers of the radio or the directors of the radio channel didn't want, and they were like, turn that off, and you were like, I'll play Elvis as loud as I want?
No, but I did get in trouble a couple times because I played H to the Izzo edited, not, you know, it wasn't the album version, but I got in trouble for it.
Why'd you get in trouble for that?
Because I was doing a rotation show and it wasn't part of our rotation and no one had requested it either. I just wanted to play it and I got in trouble for doing it. And because I got in trouble, I continued to play H to the Izzo on every rotation slot I had for like the rest of the semester.
Nice.
Yeah, and then they stopped writing me up because they were like, ugh, whatever. We're not going to like kick them out.
They're just like, oh, so not worth it.
No.
Huh. I keep forgetting that you did radio. Like you did like, I mean, you did college radio, but like that's still actual radio.
Yeah, it was so much fun because me and Chris had a couple of specialty shows, and that was probably the other reason why they didn't like write me up again is because people actually did listen to our specialty show in the afternoons. So, you know, they were like, well, there's no point. I mean, he just does the rotation show, like because we had to. It was like paying your dues. You had to do like this crappy rotation show.
Yeah.
At another point during the week in order to have the show that you wanted at another point. So like on like Tuesday, I don't know. At one point I had like three different shows. I had the sports show and then like Wednesday mornings between like 10 and 12, I would do this rotation show where I would just play the stupid crap that the station wanted to play. And then, Thursday afternoons, we had our real show.
Now, did you play, like, a lot of Blink 182 and shit?
You mean, like, for the rotation shit?
Yeah, it was the rotation shit that you played.
It was, to tell you the truth, it was a lot of, like, indie pop punk shit. You know, like, the typical college radio station garbage that no one actually listens to. And, you know, some of it was okay. Like, once in a while, a real band would come out with a new album that you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's cool. You know, we'll play that. And that was all right. But for the most part, it was absolute garbage. Mm. And we just wanted to play our own shit on our specialty show.
So the specialty show, was that mix of music and, like, talk? Or was it
different? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like I would say out of an hour, we would play like 40 minutes of music, 20 minutes of talk.
Nothing too bad.
No, and like we would come up with a lot of games and stuff. Like that was kind of how we came up with, you know, like the idea of Dead or Alive, which a lot of radio stations do that. That's not really new, but we did stuff like that, real or fake, where we'd have to decide if a girl's tits were real or fake by pictures. Female or she-male was always a good one. Mm. We'd give a picture with a piece of paper covering their private parts. And then someone would have to decide if it was a female or a she-male. And then we'd do the reveal. And we did like a lot of recorded segments. Like we go around campus and ask people questions and, you know, just like really vulgar shit. And then we'd edit it down because we were on the radio and we couldn't swear and stuff. Not that we didn't, and we did a couple times and got in trouble, but
right.
What are you gonna do?
That was back when the FCC was a little more laxed.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't. They didn't care too much, I guess.
Plus, it was college radio, and who are you going to offend five people? And,
right, who's listening to us really? Yeah, one time a good friend of ours. We were on the radio and we were talking about the movie Titanic and someone was like, oh yeah, you know, I just went to go see what's her face's tits there. What's her name? I can't think of her fucking name now. Holy crap. That's terrible.
Wow. Yeah, I can't think of it either.
Oh my god, I am blanking. Hold on.
Hang on, I'm on it. Shit.
This is terrible.
Kate Winslet.
Kate, Jesus Christ, how old are we? Anyways, so Kate Winslet, and he goes, yeah. And, you know, people still went to see it, even though she had saggy-ass motherfucking titties. And he said that whole thing. And we were just staring at him. We're like, are you serious? You just, like, it's one thing to let out, like, a shit every now and then or something. But he says saggy ass motherfucking titties. And then he stands up, doesn't say a word, and just walks out of the studio. It was awesome.
Wow. Were you guys on a delay or did you have like a dump button or was it not that sophisticated?
No, it was not that sophisticated. So if you swore, it was out there.
You're just like, oh man.
Yeah, no, nothing like that. It sucked. I mean, it was fun because it kind of like had a little element of, I don't say danger because that's not a good word, but just like you had to watch yourself. And we were just constantly trying to tiptoe that line of like what we could say and what we couldn't. Like you could never like apply ownership to things. Like the term, like you could say, like sometimes you could say things like hand job, but you could never apply it to like a person getting a hand job.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was weird shit like that. Like the rules were really overly specific, but at the same time really vague. I don't know. It was tough sometimes.
So how
it's nice doing the podcast where you don't have to watch your fucking mouth.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's nice to actually be in a medium now that where you don't even have to worry about it.
Yeah,
but I guess that 20 minutes of talk that you guys actually did do was kind of like a precursor to this almost.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean that taught me a lot about like keeping up momentum and you know, finding interesting things to say and just like not, you know, in kind of feeding off of each other. It was such a good experience. Yeah. I was so glad I did it.
I kind of wish I had done that, but
it's like my favorite part of college, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I had thought about doing that, and then I don't know. I think that was only for like the people that were majoring in that. I think that at one point they like shut that down though.
There was actually a constant battle between certain parts of the school, the Student Government Association, and the communications department, and the radio station, and them wanting to shut us down for various reasons. Probably because we didn't want to go along with any of the bullshit that they made us do. But yeah, that was like a constant battle of them trying to like shut us down. It was kind of interesting, but it survived and it still exists. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Now, are there any recordings
that
floating around somewhere?
Actually, there are. Me and Chris definitely still have some recordings of us. We recorded most of our shit. We used like one of those old digital recorders, like the very first like MP3 players.
Okay.
And we used those and saved shit to that. So it definitely still exists. We might have it readily available. Well, I don't know how readily available, but yeah, it's out there. And I think Chris has a lot of it on his computer.
Okay. You guys should start seeing if you can track that down. And then maybe when I'm up in Boston sometime, three of us can get together and listen to some of that.
Oh yeah. That's not a bad idea. Some of it's pretty funny.
I imagine that some of it's really good, but some of the stuff is probably, I'm curious to see if there's certain things that you say and you're just like, oh, that's so bad.
Well, yeah. And some of it's definitely dated too.
Oh, I love like, the dated stuff.
Talking about shit that happened in like, you know, I mean, some of it's from like 2004 and 2005. Honestly, I remember re-listening to it not that long ago, or at least some of it, and it was pretty funny. Not to toot my own horn.
Yeah, if you can find that, start to track it down, and then we'll when I'm up there sometime this summer, probably we'll see if we can get into it.
Yeah, definitely sounds good.
Because I imagine some of it's pretty amusing. I look forward to the dated stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff will be good. We're talking about popular music at that time and stuff.
Yeah, but I just imagine you being like, and here's another one from The Darkness. And
oh,
then...
yeah, we totally played The Darkness on that station.
You're like,
I don't know how much we played it on our specialty show, but the rotation shows, we played the shit out of The Darkness.
I really hope there's a record of you going, and now on here's The Darkness, these guys are going places. They are going to be around for a long, long time.
Yeah, no, I definitely called them the next queen.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. I recently re-listened to that album, and I'd say within the last few months, it's still really good. It's still a good album, but, I mean, I don't think they really went anywhere after it. I still enjoyed listening to it, though.
I thought The Darkness was pretty good, actually. I mean, they were ridiculous, and, I mean, they weren't great, but they were very entertaining.
Yeah.
Like, they had some catchy shit.
Yeah. I enjoyed them. I still enjoy the album, but, yeah, they just never, they never went anywhere. I mean, I'm sure probably in, like, the UK or Australia or wherever they're from, they're probably huge.
I think they're from the UK. I'm not positive about that, but...
Let's fact check that shit. Because sometimes I get in trouble for not fact checking.
Yeah, well, you tend to do that.
No, we
not both. Really. Actually, if anyone fact checks, it's you.
We're both like that, but sometimes, especially when I'm re-listening with the fiance in the car, she'll be like, "Why didn't you look that up? You looked the other thing up 5 minutes ago, but you didn't want to look that up." And I was like, "Well, yeah, I really didn't care to."
I mean, you can't look everything up. Come on, Rachel.
Yeah. They're in a reunion. Let's see.
Ooh, The Darkness?
Yeah, The Darkness. Okay, so it's a British band. Justin Hawkins and his brother Dan Hawkins. Frankie Poulian and Ed Graham. I guess were the original ones. And let's see, History, Permission to Land, that was the first one. Commercial Success.
Yep, I remember that.
One Way Ticket to Hell, .. and Back was their second album.
Yeah, and I think that kind of came out around the time when I was at the radio station and we played some of that.
I don't remember that.
I also remember – yeah, I remember that one. I also remember distinctly that there was a new Jamiroquai album out while we were there, and we played a lot of that. I happen to really love Jamiroquai, so that wasn't a problem for me, but
yeah, then they did other projects. And then 2011, they apparently had a reunion.
A reunion? How long were they out of not together? I mean,
I guess they broke up like 2006.
Oh, jeez.
And they did some other projects for 5 years. And now The Darkness released a third album, Hotcakes, on August 20th, 2012. The band was the opening act for the European and African leg of Lady Gaga's The Born This Way Ball.
Well, I just lost a little bit of respect for The Darkness.
Yeah, no. Wow. Anyway, I mean, I still want to like them. I didn't know they came out with more stuff. I might have to check some of this out.
Yeah, I only knew about the first two albums there.
I'm sure I knew about the second one. I only really remember the first one, though. All right, so, well, you know what, I'll see if I can check it out, and then maybe we'll do a follow-up.
Checking back in with The Darkness.
Checking back in with The Darkness, they broke up again. they broke up again. I'm curious whatever happened to the band Jet. That is not...
Oh, yeah, they definitely didn't go anywhere.
They did release a few albums. Okay, this is probably not right. I can't... Okay, there's like 19 bands called Jet right now.
Really?
Okay, I'm going to try Jet Band. There we go.
Isn't it J-E-T-T?
No.
Oh, never mind.
No, I think they were together for a while, but I think they recently broke up.
Oh.
Yeah. March 26th of 2012, Jet announced their discontinuation as a group via the band's website and Facebook.
What a shame.
Yeah. They were pretty good, too.
Is that the 1, 2, 3, na, 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 if you really want to make your mind, dun, 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 that one? That was,
yes.
Jet, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You knew what I meant.
Yeah.
And even though I had, like, a third of the words.
I still got it. You got the start of the song, right?
Yeah. The 1, 2, 3?
Yeah. You knew how to count.
Yeah, no song has ever started like that.
Yeah, it's like all Springsteen songs start out. Did you ever see that the Ben Stiller, I think it was on the Ben Stiller show, the skit that he did, counting with Bruce Springsteen?
No, I've never seen it.
I'll have to put it up, because he counts like Bruce Springsteen, do the, and I think he's like, and he's like, I forget how high he counts up. I want to say that they keep like checking back in with him, and he's like at like 50 and stuff. But
nice.
Let me see. If I find, I'll put it up on Facebook, facebook.com/. But you're wrong. Look at that! I just worked a plug in. I don't need college radio for this shit.
No, forget. Fuck my experience.
The number of ums that I have to cut out for myself compared to you, staggering.
You think so? Really?
I have to cut out a lot for myself.
I mean, that just, I don't know. Maybe just having done it longer, maybe I cut my own ums out. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think that I'm getting better at it. I think my numbers lessen, but I still have to, every once in a while, I'm like, I cut out a large section where I'm like, but that's usually when we're changing gear.
Right. No, so. Absolutely. Everyone's going to have some ums.
So, speaking of ums and changing gears, after that, behind the scenes, I was going to say footage, but
no, that's not
that's not footage, but no. That behind the scenes soundbite. We have I had a topic for us to discuss.
All right, I'm ready.
But then I opened it up and I said, "Does anybody have any suggestions?" And somebody on our Facebook page suggested we talk about addiction. That seems like a very serious topic, and I don't think either one of us are in the mood for a very serious topic. I think we could get into addiction and probably have some fun with it, but I think also with the mood that both of us are in today, it's not going to end up being that funny, but I think we can make addiction funny, so maybe we'll table that and hold off.
Yeah, I agree. I concur, sir.
Although my original topic is kind of a bitching topic. Like, yeah, I just want to complain about some miserable cunt. Well, I shouldn't. No, I mean,
Nancy,
you know,
Pelosi.
No.
Damn.
So I'm gonna start this one off with a little story for you, Greg. Little story. All
right, I'm ready.
There once was a boy. All he wanted to do was go to the movies. But he got scared, he left, his parents were murdered, and then he became Batman.
Yeah, no, I've heard part of that story before.
Yeah. Made the best out of a bad situation, right? I suppose.
No, absolutely. Yeah, well, no, you know what? Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Because if your parents were murdered, you'd probably not make that good of the situation.
Yeah.
Me neither.
Another story. There once was a boy who went off to college and thought that he wanted to be a software engineer. And because he took some classes in high school, he found it interesting. He was pretty good at writing programs and said, hey, you know what? Maybe I'll try this as a career. And then he reached a point where he had to take a more advanced level of math in order to go beyond more basic programming in order to earn that degree. It was one of those... what do you call them? Requirements.
And I believe the term is a prerequisite.
Thank you. So he had to take that as a prerequisite. And I want to say it was derivatives. So he's in that class. And the teacher might have been part of the problem. Because the teacher was, I want to say, from like Georgia. And Georgia, the country, not Georgia, the state.
Oh, okay.
So he had this kind of heavy accent. But the kid, the boy, was really struggling. in this advanced math class. So much so that he was getting like a D.
Yeah, D's not good.
He was getting a D, and he said, you know what? This isn't right for me. I am just going to drop the class rather than get the D. Because it was late enough where you could drop it, but you couldn't switch into another class. Too much time had passed.
Right.
So he dropped it and then decided to take his life in a different path. I think most people would do that, you know, realize, hey, I'm not doing well in this class. Maybe this thing isn't right for me.
I feel like if you got any sense at all, you know, you'd take a little assessment of your situation and, you know, try to make the best of it by switching your class.
Yeah.
I did that a few times.
I mean, maybe what you're going in for isn't necessarily the best thing for you. Maybe you're not as good as you think you are.
Plus, when you're that age, how often you change your fucking mind?
Oh, yeah. Well,
I mean, I still do it. And when you're in college, you're like, oh, maybe I want to do this. Maybe I want to do that. I still don't know what I want to do.
Oh, yeah. When you're in college, you're all over the place. And I think I'm honing down a little bit into what I want to do. I think I know I want it to be something more creative than just, you know, bullshit. But anyway. But not this girl that were woman. I'll say woman. I don't want to degrade her and have her sue me, because apparently that's something she likes to do.
Okay.
Lehigh University graduate Megan Thode captured the world's attention last week with her demand that a judge change her C+ to a better grade.
Okay.
Let's see. Let's skip ahead here. Some history. Courts usually don't change it. Blah, blah, blah. Where's her story, though? Oh, Thode tied her claim that two Lehigh professors wrongly denied her a passing grade to an allegation that one of them disapproved of her advocacy of gay and lesbian rights.
Okay.
If this were just about the grade and there were no discrimination component, this wouldn't be in court right now, Chicago area education lawyer Michael Sesla said Thursday. Let's see. A 27-year-old drug and alcohol counselor, Thode claimed the C+ she received in 2009 for a fieldwork course kept her from moving on to the next stage of the licensed professional counselor program. As a result, she graduated with a master's degree in human development instead.
Mm-hmm.
So she's still a counselor, just not a licensed one.
Okay.
But she is still helping people, it would seem.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, she's still kind of getting to do what she wants to do. Or yeah. She is doing what she wants to do. Okay.
Well, apparently not, though. Thode, who is the daughter of Lehigh finance professor Stephen Thode, and attended the graduate program for free.
Oh.
Claimed the bad grade and less prestigious degree will cost her $1.3 million in lost earnings over the course of her career.
Really? Mm-hmm. How the hell do you come to that number?
I don't know. I have no idea. I guess she's basing it on what her hourly pay is now.
Okay.
And then if she was a licensed professional counselor. Because I guess she was looking to be, you know, like an actual psychologist and counselor and charging like, you know, $300 an hour, probably something ridiculous.
Yeah.
But now she's not making that much.
And driving up our insurance premiums.
Mm.
Anyways.
Let's see. Attorney Richard Orlowski argued that Thode would have passed the fieldwork course if teacher Amanda Carr hadn't given her a 0 for class participation. That decision dragged her average of 88% into C+ territory. See, that's why you always have to participate in class.
Right. Who is this broad think she is?
You gotta, I mean, well, she attended for free, so I think she always got everything handed to her.
Okay. All right, What's her name again?
Megan Thode.
Okay, I can't tell anything by that.
T-H-O-D-E. She's a... I know she's a blonde, and let's see, this picture, she does not look like a happy person.
Is she attractive?
I'm going to say no, but she... I mean, she might be if she smiled. They just have a very unattractive picture of her connected to this article.
Okay. I mean, typically, I would think that someone like this, suing about shit for this reason and all that, would probably not be an attractive person, but that's just me.
Well, my guess would be a Lehigh finance professor probably did pretty well for himself.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if maybe she was a little spoiled.
Yeah.
I can't say for sure. I'm not saying anything for sure, but I wonder if that maybe had something to do with it. And she figured she didn't have to participate. Let's see. Orlowski alleged that Carr and Nicholas Lindaney, then the director of the degree program, conspired against Thode after she and three other students complained that they had to find new internships midway through the semester.
Okay.
So they had to...
Was that the school's fault, or...?
I don't know. It doesn't say. Okay. I like that use of the word conspired. This week on Conspiracy with Jesse Ventura. These people are conspiring against her.
Conspired.
Oliver Stone's son, get over here.
With some big plot to give her a C+.
Check into the C+ thing. I know things. I once got a C+.
I went to school before.
I didn't do class participation either.
No, because I'm a loser. No one liked me.
Thode also complained Carr expressed religious objections to Thode's support of gay and lesbian rights. Lehigh attacked that claim, noting that Carr has a close relative who is a lesbian and that she counsels people who are gay and lesbian.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of being like, well, I have a gay friend. Like, I know a black guy. I'm not racist.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't mean anything. I have a gay first cousin. I mean, like, whatever.
I mean, the thing is, like, I don't have any support to be like, well, obviously I'm not racist. But then again, nobody would have a lot of support for being like, hey, you're racist. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, in general, it's just kind of an argument you're not really going to win.
Yeah. Either side of the argument, I think, is stupid. Let's see. University lawyers Neil Hamburg and Michael Sachs also contended that Thode's poor grade was warranted by unprofessional behavior, including outbursts and swearing in class that indicated she was not academically or emotionally ready to advance in the program.
Uh-huh.
No, really?
I'm surprised that she'd be such a fucking malcontent. Bitch.
she throws this hissy fit and is like, well, I didn't get the right grade, so you guys screwed up. So just, you know... Give me $1 million.
I mean,
obviously she's not academically or professionally ready for anything.
It would surprise me that you'd find that many people, or at least in the same department of the same university, that would be willing to conspire against someone for being pro gay and lesbian rights. I mean, we're talking at a college here.
Yeah.
This isn't like the owners of like Exxon or something down in Texas. This is a university. Like, that seems weird to me.
Now, I would maybe buy things a little bit more if they were like, listen, this one teacher conspired against me because she was upset because I wanted to go into counseling specifically gays and lesbians.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was my career path, and she was trying to put a stop to it. I might be like, all right, well, maybe there's a thing to it. But they also say that two people were against, like, three other kids. And we're like, hey, because they had to find new internships. So was it was it against her and three other kids, or was it against her because of this thing, or was it just that she had outbursts in class and
she's just making it all up?
Called somebody a twat, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe someone called her a twat and they were right.
Maybe. Now, how long do you think this trial lasted?
I would hope not more than a day.
Higher.
A week.
No. 4 days.
Okay. That's not too bad.
I mean, for this case, it's pretty bad, but...
Well, it's bad, but, you know, longer than a week, it would have been really horrendous.
After 4 days of testimony, Giordano, I guess that's the judge, ruled Thode had failed to prove her bad grade was based on anything other than her academic performance.
I'm not surprised. Maybe because she's just out of her fucking mind.
Let's see. Sisla said the majority of students who believe they have been wronged resolve their claims through an internal grievance process. Though it followed that procedure at Lehigh, but was unsuccessful in changing her grade.
Yeah, I mean, going to court and suing is just absurd. Have you ever experienced any sort of thing where you felt you got a bad grade because of your views?
No.
Because I have. And I actually decided to write an article about it in the school newspaper.
Was this college?
Yeah. And I think – I'm pretty sure the teacher read it because he seemed pretty pissed the next time I saw him.
Probably was. But, what was the topic?
It was about – it was mainly the Patriot Act and the just basically tactics used by the Bush administration during the war on terror. And even though I will say this, I probably wouldn't take exactly the same position I did then, but I was more in support as he was highly against anything. I mean, he was just, you know, just way far left. And as you know, I'm more towards the right.
Right.
And he just wanted to have nothing to do with what I had to say. And he gave me a grade of out of 100 possible points. What kind of grade do you think he gave me?
30.
Less.
Wow. 15?
Less.
10?
A 9. He gave me 9 points out of 100. And now, the paper I wrote, like, don't get me wrong, I don't think it was a masterpiece, but this was, I mean, it was probably, it was at least worthy of a C.
Now, was it, like, an opinion paper? I mean, did you have to cite sources and...
Yeah, but we had to use sources, but we had to, I mean, it was opinion-based. It was, do we support certain measures... take in why, you know, cite sources, why you would support this. And, you know, and it was tough because he had to kind of do like a blanket statement of I do support it and I don't. And it's not easy because I obviously don't blanketly support the Patriot Act, but there were lots of provisions that I did. So, you know, in general, I was like, yeah, no, I'm pro.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I don't even think I would say that now, but I did. And he was just like, no, terrible. Forget it.
What happened with the grade? It just stood or?
Yeah, I ended up dropping the class because I was like, there's no way I'm going to get a fair shake from this guy.
No. What was his arguments as to why you deserved a 9? Because I know you're not, let's put it this way. You're not a Hemingway. But when it comes to writing, you write concisely and you do support your arguments.
Right.
Especially it comes to stuff like that, like you always have facts to back yourself up. So I don't foresee him being like, well, you didn't support any of these statements because I know you would have in just talking about it.
Right. Yeah. No. He didn't really like my. He was just like, you really didn't back up your opinions. Like, he just. To be honest, I'm having a hard time even remembering what his exact complaints were.
You just blocked it out.
I was just like, this guy is an asshole.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I don't know. I think I've been fairly lucky. I've probably had some teachers that have graded me down based on some of the things I've written about or talked about, but I think for the most part I've been fairly lucky with what I've dealt with.
Yeah.
But that's fucked up.
Hey, it happens.
Yeah. But you again, know, like, you dealt with it like a normal person.
Right, right. You know, I'm not going to go to fucking court to do it. It was nice, though. I wrote a couple articles, and the paper was very the school paper, which, you know, obviously you're on a college campus. It's going to be heavily, you know, on the liberal end or whatever. And they were very welcoming of my alternate point of view. And I got a lot of I got some fan mail emailed to me.
That's pretty cool.
It was kind of cool. No ladies. It was all guys, you know. They all wanted my dick.
That's unfortunate. I was hoping some ladies would come up and be like, hey, sign my tits. But.
Yeah. Ooh, I want to suck yous off.
Well, yeah, I guess so, yeah. I mean, it was college. So they might have been doing that anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, it's true. They did do that in college.
I got blown.
Yeah. I think, hang on, who's Sesla? I want to, because he makes an excellent point, and I want him to have the last word, because I completely agree with it, even though there's more to the article, but about other cases. Let's see. Sesla is, I'm going to assume, like the state attorney or the university attorney. That's her attorney. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, no, Chicago area education lawyer, Michael Sesla. I don't know why they picked him, but seems like a weird call, but.
Why not?
I guess he knows somebody in Lehigh Valley, and they were like, you want to make a statement? Let's see. So he says, you're basically starting your career off with this lawsuit out there. And even though it is unlawful to do so, any potential employer is going to look at that suit and say they might sue us if they don't like something we're doing.
Right. And how can you possibly prevent people from thinking that? You know, and if it's public record, you go in, you're just like, huh, do I really want to hire this person? They're this prone to just throwing out lawsuits. And as much as like that might be illegal, how could you ever enforce that?
Well, the thing is, you can't.
How could you ever?
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, how could you ever prove that that's the reason why they didn't hire you?
Yeah, I mean, she could. I think if you sent in a resume, you definitely couldn't prove it. I think if they actually included her in an interview, then she could be like, listen, like, they brought it up, so you would have to, like, if you wanted to interview her, you'd have to say, listen, like, don't bring it up, because if she doesn't, you know, otherwise fit our thing, or, you know, we get a bad vibe from her, we'll just get rid of her.
Right. I don't know. I just feel like if you, like say you did, right, and she got the sense that you didn't hire her because of the past lawsuit and they were afraid. So what's she going to do? She's going to sue them again? She's going to sue someone else? I mean, really, she's just perpetuating a bad vibe that anyone is going to get about her.
Yeah.
And then no one's going to hire her.
Yeah, it's all around just bad.
Yeah.
I mean, like, maybe.
Maybe you should just try to handle things like an adult to start with.
Yeah, like, I realized, hey, maybe I'm not cut out for this you know, thing that I wanted to go into. And there's been other things that I've done that I've just been like, you know what? I'm not doing well in this. Maybe I'm just not cut out for it. I haven't been like, and sure, there have been times where I've been like, well, you know, well, like in that class, especially like, oh, well, the teacher being from another country and having a thick accent, it was kind of hard to understand him. But even when I tried to teach myself, like, I had a hard time understanding it. And I thought I understood it, but when I actually went to go and, like, do the work, I was getting everything wrong. So I was like, okay, well, maybe it's not for me. I don't know. Maybe it's... Is it, like... Is it just because we tell everyone now, like, oh, you can be anything you want to be, and everything has to be fair and equal, or...
It doesn't help. It doesn't help that everyone gets a trophy no matter what place they come in.
Yeah.
You know? And everyone just feels entitled to being, you know, being rewarded all the time. It's craziness. No matter how you do, it's just everyone feels they deserve to be rewarded in the end. It's like, as long as you show up, you're going to get rewarded. You're going to get as much recognition as the person who tried the hardest. And that shouldn't be the way it is, you know?
No.
It's absurd. People just they want reward without effort. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't know how we get around. I mean, my parents, whatever they did, because they were very like encouraging of me following my dreams and like being like, well, if you work hard enough, you could do whatever you want to do. But at the same time, they were like, listen, you're not going to be great at everything, though.
Mm-hmm.
They were like. Like, when I got, like, a C on a test or something like that, they were like, did you try your best? Yeah. All right, well, you know, I mean, you try your best, that's all you can do. Like, you're not going to be a star at everything. You're not always going to get an A or, you know, be the best or...
It's an important thing to learn, though. You know, unfortunately, people just get told that they're... No, they don't get told this, but they get the impression that they're going to be good at everything they try. And like that's a huge thing with like professional athletes, right? Where you get these guys that grow up, right? And then they're playing baseball their whole life, and their parents like, you're awesome, the coaches, you're awesome, all the kids in school, you're fucking awesome. You know, they go to college, then they get drafted to play baseball or whatever, and everyone's like, oh my God, you're fucking great. You know, you can't do wrong. Everything you do is great. And then you wonder why they're fucking alcoholics that hit women. And it's like – you're like, why – you know, why do you think it's okay to act like this? It's because no one has ever told you that they were wrong. You've never – like no one's ever sat you down and said, dude, you can't do that. It's always been, yeah, keep doing what you're doing. Don't stop. You're awesome. And it's like you keep telling someone – that they're not doing anything wrong and that everything that they do is great, they're not going to have any idea of self-control. They're never going to sit back and say, huh, maybe not everything I do is great and not maybe I'm not capable of everything. You know, I have limits. People don't recognize their limits, and people think that no matter what they do, people are going to love them. You know, you got to find what you're good at. You can't be good at everything.
That speech makes me want to go watch Fight Club right now. That's how awesome yeah, that
I
was.
Know, I know. That is definitely a Fight Club kind of point of view.
No, yeah, we have to watch. We have to walk a fine line between encouraging kids to follow their dreams and give things a try. But at the same time, getting them to be realistic and being like, you know what, maybe I won't be, you know, this phenomenon that I want to be in basketball or baseball or whatever.
Right. I mean, not every, you know, you should try everything. Try everything that you want. You know, just feel it out. See what you're good at. You are not going to be good at everything. You're just not. It's impossible. You know?
Yeah. But you know what we are good at?
Podcasting?
Yeah.
Being awesome?
Exactly. Being a couple big dicks.
Yeah, just a couple big Johnny horse cocks.
Swinging in the breeze.
Yep. Just,
that is podcasting.
Just flapping along.
Hang on. The police are coming after
me. What's going on out there? I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a cop while I was out there.
Well, you know, no, what it is, see, my parents told me that I could do anything I wanted to. So I just, while we were recording, I hired some hookers and then just beat the shit out of them, so.
Oh, yeah, no, I've done that.
Yeah. I also signed a big NFL contract and,
Well, that gives you the right to beat the shit out of hookers.
Yeah.
It's like a rite of passage.
Yeah, plus I told them my name was Sean Connery, so they're okay with it.
Nice.
In actuality, is that I live, I guess, fairly close to a hospital. I don't know. I guess I live close enough where I'm, like, on a major route to a hospital. So, either that or because I live close to a college, even though it's, like, a Catholic college, there's just people just getting fucked up all the fucking time. Even on a Monday at 8 o'clock, people are just getting all... People at the Christian university are just getting all sorts of nuts.
I'm going to throw this out there, people. I've been to where Keith lives. He does not live on a major route of anything.
No. I live on a major route for where I am.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry.
In terms of Boston, I live... Actually, you know what? There is no way to describe. In terms of Boston, I live in Western Massachusetts.
You live... No, I would say in comparison, you live in the sticks. That's the term that would be used here. You live in the sticks.
Okay. Where banjos play? Because I think I saw a kid playing a banjo the other day. And I ran like shit.
Some fucking inbred.
I've yet to run into a person playing a banjo.
That's good. It's dangerous.
The second I do, I'm going to... It's going to be like that scene in Boondock Saints when Rocco comes running in. And he's like, we got to get the fuck out of here. As soon as I see a kid with a banjo, if one appears next to our house, I'm going to run back in and be like, Rachel, we got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I'm going to grab just like the iron for no reason, throw it in the bag. They're going to make me squeal like a pig, Rachel. We got to get out of here.
It's scary.
They are. So now that we've insulted inbreds, I think that's a good place to close.
Do you mind if I take 1 second?
Yeah, do you, I'm okay.
Yeah, no, just give me 1 second. I'll be right back.
Okay.
I'm sorry, sir.
I'm assuming that was a much needed bathroom break.
I literally could not hold it. Like, I almost didn't make it. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I literally thought it was going to be... Can I take a second here?
Yeah.
Listen, everybody, I'm gay.
Is that what it sounded like? Everyone, can we stop here?
you're like, can I... Because I go... Let's close out, and you're like, wait, hang on. All right, can I just take a second here?
I like dicks.
I
when they're in my mouth.
I thought you were going to make some kind of, like, announcement.
Oh, and then I just took off?
Yeah.
No, it was I had to go. I've just been consuming liquids.
Jizz liquids.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Shut up.
Okay, I'll cut that part out of it. All right, so now we'll... now that Greg has had an outed attempt, I can't even talk now.
A failed outing?
Yes, now that Greg has had a failed outing, we'll close here. So I'm Keith Bordello.
I am Greg DiNicola.
And be sure to check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/butyourewrong. Twitter at BYW Podcast. The YouTube with the Jedi video is at youtube.com/BYW Podcast also. And check out Complete Sentences Pod.
Check it out.
And, good guys. Nice guys, too. Not like us. They're a little bit nicer, I think.
A little more civil.
The one guy doesn't go to the bathroom. And then No, the one guy doesn't go to the bathroom, and then we just assume that he's gay, so.
Yeah, no, I have to go to the bathroom, and everyone just assumes I'm a homosexual.
Now, if you had been going to the bathroom at an airport, well,
you would have known I was homosexual. Yeah,
that would have been confirmation. So, until next time, no regrets, and you're not going to be good at everything, so just fucking deal with it.
Amen.